other side of midnight.
77 WNBC.
Local Spotlight.
Good morrow, everyone. This is The Other Side of Midnight on 77 WABC. I'm superstar Frank Morano. Well, by now you have no doubt heard the results of the special election in New York's 3rd Congressional District, where Democrat Tom Suozzi was taking on the Republican candidate Mazie Pilip. And Tom Suozzi is going back to Congress. He did win the special election. Here's a little bit of Tom Suozzi's victory speech.
We won this race. You won this race. Because we addressed the issues and we found a way to bind our divisions.
And this is exactly what Governor David Paterson predicted yesterday, just about 24 hours ago when he was on this show. I think the Republicans made a few mistakes here. One, I think it would have been very difficult to beat Suozzi anyway, just because of the name recognition that he had. But I think in choosing Pilip, they made a mistake in choosing someone that actually wasn't that good of a candidate. She didn't articulate the issues well. She was very green. She came across as not great in the one debate they had. She came across as not great in any interviews that she did. And all the interviews that she did tended to be with very friendly media outlets like Fox News. And I think that kind of turned off a lot of independent and centrist voters, whereas Suozzi was willing to go on any show that that wanted to have him. Additionally, I think the Republicans would have been better off running someone that was a little bit more seasoned, someone like State Senator Jack Martin, who represents part of this district and who has run for this seat before and who's as polished as can be. I don't think you're going to see State Senator Jack Martin run for this seat in November because he would have to give up his state Senate seat. The other mistake that I think the Republicans made is how they treated early voting. I said as soon as that decision upholding no excuse absentee early voting was upheld, then this was going to be a tough race to win for the Republicans. If the Republicans want to win tight races like this, they're going to have to get on board with some sort of early voting operation, and that's missing now. I think this is certainly a seat that the Republicans can win in November, but the most important aspect of it is they need the right candidate. As Governor Paterson pointed out yesterday, this is a seat that Hochul lost by 12 points last year.
Beam me up!
To be continued.
It's the Kia Summer Sticker Sales Event, so give your friends something to look at. Like a B&B with an ocean view, an endless field of wildflowers, or a sunset that needs no filter. Make this a summer to share and save with a capable Kia SUV or powerful sedan. See your local Kia dealer or visit Kia.com to learn more. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-334-KIA for details. Always drive safely. Sale applies to purchase of specially tagged 2024 vehicles only. Quantities are limited. Must take delivery by 7/8/24.
The Other Side of Midnight.
77 WNBC.
Local Spotlight.
Good morrow, everybody. This is The Other Side of Midnight on 77 WABC. I'm superstar Frank Morano. Now, 24 hours ago, I was telling you about how they had basically discontinued snow days in New York City. Instead of letting children enjoy the snow, instead they had to do remote learning where they're still getting instruction, but it's just via computer from home. Well, turns out I was wrong. Totally unintentionally. Children of New York City did indeed get a snow day, but it was because of the incompetence of the people who run New York's remote learning system. New York City public school students and teachers were locked out of their virtual classrooms yesterday morning, a setback as the nation's largest school system maneuvers the first test of its no snow day approach. Mayor Adams and school's chancellor David Banks, who insisted Monday that the city was prepared for the winter snowstorm, placed the blame on IBM, the tech company that provides a key part of the remote learning system. I'll tell you, say what you want about Mayor Adams and his administration. He is very good at finding someone to blame for everything. I mean, there's nobody better. So as of yesterday afternoon, more than a million users, including pupils and staff, were logged on. The mayor said that he was disappointed. School's Chancellor Banks said he was disappointed. He said he was extremely angry to hear this morning that they were not ready. That was unacceptable to him, completely unacceptable, and it remains unacceptable even though we're in a much better place right now. He said that in the afternoon. Chancellor Banks maintained a backup plan was already built into the DOE's messaging to parents and families so students could activate on work assignments that were given to them. But he acknowledged it was still a frustrating day for far too many parents. He did apologize, to his credit. A lot of people are speculating that maybe this was some brilliant computer hacker from Brooklyn Tech or Stuyvesant that wanted kids to have a good old-fashioned snow day. Here's an idea. If you're going to be doing this, especially when you know in the winter there tends to be more snow, why not do regular tests to make sure that the remote learning infrastructure is working? Can't believe no one thought of that.
Beam me up!
To be continued.
The Other Side of Midnight.
77 WNBC.
Local Spotlight.
I guess I need to say this at the outset. I am not anti-Irish. My wife is Irish, making my son part Irish. My stepmother is Irish, which makes my three half-siblings half Irish. I love the Irish people. I love a good glass of Irish whiskey now and again. However, I think this latest proposal by New York State Assembly member Stacey Pfeffer Amato of Queens is just ludicrous. New York City school kids would get the day off on St. Patrick's Day under new legislation that she's introducing. Another day off? We just gave them Diwali. They just got Lunar New Year. Does everybody get whatever day they want off? This is really absurd. If we keep adding holidays, we will never have the ability to close schools for any disruption, be it a snow day, a hurricane, or anything like that. There's got to be 180 instructional days. There's labor contracts. There's summer camp. And there's this ever-growing holiday calendar. So I certainly understand why kids want to celebrate St. Patrick's Day and why their parents may want to take them to the St. Patrick's Day parade. But enough is enough. I have said, and so far I'm yet to meet another person that thinks this is a good idea, that it's impossible to pick which holidays are important enough to give kids the day off for. So what kids should be able to do is pick, is get five floating holidays that they get to take whenever they want. You want to use them for Jewish holidays, Christian holidays, Muslim holidays, so be it. Now, the reason I'm told that's impractical is because you have a lot of the teachers that may want to be celebrating these holidays, and they're all going to be taking off en masse on days like Rosh Hashanah or Christmas. I get it. So what makes a holiday significant enough to merit closing schools? I don't know, but like the Supreme Court used to say about pornography, we know it when we see it. And when it comes to St. Patrick's Day, no, schools should not be closed.
Beam me up!
To be continued.
The Other Side of Midnight.
77 WNBC.
Local Spotlight.
Before we get out of here, I have to bring this story to your attention. There is a huge scandal brewing in Orange County, and we have a lot of listeners up in Orange County. I have some family in Orange County. It's a great place. And the New York City Police Department's Detectives Endowment Association, the DEA, has called for the FBI and New York's Attorney General to investigate Orange County District Attorney David Hoover for his handling of a murder investigation. This being reported by the Journal News, a really interesting case. Basically, as I understand it, within days of a USA Today series that revealed a blistering state police report taking Orange County DA Hoover to task for his alleged actions in the Megan McDonald murder investigation, Paul DiGiacomo, president of the DEA, was flanked by members of his group and by Karen and James Whalen, the sister and brother-in-law of Megan McDonald, at the hastily called news conference. Megan McDonald's father, Dennis, was an NYPD detective who served for 20 years before retiring in 2000. He died of a heart attack in 2002, a year before his daughter's murder. His fellow detectives have stood by the family, offering a reward for information leading to a conviction. McDonald's body was found in an Orange County field in March of 2023, and for 20 years, state police investigators sought her killer. In April of 2023, a month after the 20th anniversary of the murder, they arrested Edward Holly, Megan's former boyfriend, and charged him with second-degree murder. Within days of the arrest, Hoover recused himself and his office from the case and punted the preliminary hearing, permitting Holly to go free. Veteran Westchester prosecutor Julia Cornaccio was named a special prosecutor. And what DiGiacomo is saying is that one of the reasons it took 20 years to bring this case to the point it is now was that the current district attorney, David Hoover, was once the defense attorney who represented one of the perpetrators in this homicide. So the DEA is now calling on the FBI and the attorney general to open an investigation into the DEA. It's going to be very interesting to see where this goes. This kind of thing is incredibly rare. To be continued.